I'm so, can you guys hear me in the back? Wonderful. I'm so glad to be here with you. I'm glad to finally be here rather than reading this to myself on my couch. I actually feel more comfortable with you, friends. And after that sharing, I just feel like we all could go home. It was so special and wonderful. So I love being a part of this end of the year semester celebration, or end of the semester celebration. Just entering this room is so wonderful. The whole atmosphere is so warm and inviting, and I love the beautiful decorations that surround us. I love the festive flavor that fills the air. I love the sentimental feeling of gathering with you ladies after completing our study of God's Word. I appreciate the lovely, thoughtful tone of this setting. I just love being here in this atmosphere. It's so perfect for the holiday season and for our time together. As I think about atmosphere, I ponder the tone of my own home, not only this holiday season, but every season. How would I describe the flavor of my family? What kind of vibe do we give off? Does it really reflect who we are and what we believe and what we celebrate in life? In considering our home, the sign in our kitchen becomes very pronounced in my mind. It's just, it's really beautiful. It says, "Welcome to our crazy, fun, happy, loud home." That's it. There aren't even any flowers around it or anything. granted, it's certainly not a complete description, but it's accurate to one degree or another. For example, we are the kind of parents who have our kids dump out all their Halloween candy in the middle of the family room floor at the end of the night, not only so we can help sort it out and get rid of the kinds that break their teeth, but so that we can see the massive amounts of the different types of candy that were given out each year. It's just fun. When the kids were little, we often had 80s dance parties to get out all of our energy at the end of a long week, and we turned up the music really loud. Not only is the music still sometimes loud, but our dinner bell, which we thought would be an awesome vacation souvenir, is very loud. And it is. And we do have four girls who enjoy hearing themselves talk, sometimes all at the same time. That can be loud and chaotic and frustrating. Even when Jeff and I chat together concerning something we are convinced about or passionate about, which is almost about everything, but we have to remind each other that we don't mean to interrupt. We're just excited. We're an all-there kind of family. We're excitable. We're engaged. We're loud. Since the girls are older now, they've joined in our scaring competition. This competition has been ongoing since Jeff and I were dating in college. Even our friend Callie was included while she lived with us for 5 months this year. I'm not sure whether this falls in the crazy or the fun category. It probably depends if you are on the offense or the defense end of the scaring. It can be a little unsettling to constantly feel on edge in your own home and outside your home, especially in the dark. At this moment, I just went to the restroom. There's someone out there in the lobby. And as I came out, he said, my husband, that he should have hidden behind the coat racks and tried to scare you. It's ongoing. Okay, but I probably still have 30 more seconds. Just for the record, though, he said I already won the war, but he's just going to make it up in the volume of scares he does for me. I did a good one in the past couple months. But he does walk around a little edgy. He told me I won the war because he's edgy all the time. Even last night, in the evenings, if he has to run downstairs to go throw laundry or something, he'd be like, "Hey, Jen." And he just wants to answer to know that I'm not hiding. So he just did it last night, and he told me, "You have won." I was like, "I clearly have won. That is so awesome." Okay, so anyway, maybe some of you can relate to this. Our evening Bible times would hardly ever be described as smooth sailing. I would like to meet you if yours are. Recently, we finally had a free evening, and our girls were particularly wound up. So our devotional on Mary and Joseph, including interesting but random discussions, wonderful insights and revelations, what a joy, and thoughtful, extensive questions from our youngest about exactly how babies are delivered. Where it goes. Even our little beta fish, Eugene, who keeps me company in the kitchen, is not exempt from some of the crazy at our house. This year, during a meeting we hosted, Eugene nearly got poured out of his beautiful glass pitcher, which I thought was so creative and clever, and drunk up by our good friend. Luckily, an onlooker came to his rescue just in the nick of time. I share this because our friend, who is merely seeking refreshment, is also a friend of many of you, John Humphrey. We still get a laugh out of it, and we are always sure to make clear that our gatherings with John are BYOFW, bring your own fish water occasions. So, in the midst of all the chaos, though, we desire that the outstanding, overriding tone in our home reflects these things: our faith in Jesus, our love for others overflowing from the hope laid up for us in heaven, the gospel, the word of truth, bearing fruit and growing, increasing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God, resulting in lives that please him. Endurance, patience, joy, thankfulness, and forgiveness through God's power at work within us. These are the beautiful qualities Paul praised the Colossian believers for and prayed for them in his letter. And these are the beautiful qualities we want to exemplify our home, our family, our very lives. Along with Paul's praises and prayers in the book of Colossians, he shared loving encouragements, warnings, admonitions, and instructions about how to live out the Christian faith. And I need this help. I need all of the Word of God to help me for two reasons. Number one, to help me recognize the lies. And number two, so I can respond in truth. When we studied Colossians this semester, we discovered one of the main reasons Paul wrote was because they were being deceived by various teachings among them. They had become unsure, unsettled, confused about how they were to eat, drink, celebrate, even worship, and seek God rightly. There are a myriad of ways that we are influenced and sometimes deceived by the world today. Television, movies, magazines, ads, books, Pinterest, Facebook, even well-meaning friends, churches, seminars, blogs that all want to share with us what it takes to be a phenomenal or at least a more effective mom, grandma, wife, sister, friend, neighbor, hostess, community member, coworker, coordinator, communicator, caretaker, cleaner, crafter, Christian. I get tired just thinking about all the ways I'm supposed to be amazing. And many of these things are fine and helpful, but what's not helpful is when they become our highest ideals instead of letting God's standards rule our lives. Over all these things, there is one influence that deceives me most. It's myself, my own dreamy, often unrealistic expectations that cause me wrong thinking about how life ought to be or how life ought to go. My standards, my ideas, my ways. I often share that I am a frustrated perfectionist. And recently, I've also labeled myself as a thwarted control freak. Yes, I used to be a genuine, wholehearted control freak. But with each child and with each passing day, more of my controlling ways are thwarted. Sometimes by choice, sometimes not, mostly not. And certainly more pride flies out the window. That is true. It hasn't always been easy to submit, but I'm grateful for God's gracious rule in my life. Let me now illustrate how I, on a daily basis, need to recognize lies and respond in truth. I hope you can relate with at least one of my examples. First, take a simple story of cookies. One particular evening, I was slated as the treat lady for our small group. The day had gotten away from me, and I realized I was not going to have time to bake. Recognize the lies swirling in my head. What would you be thinking? I have to make homemade cookies because that's what I do. And that's what tastes best, certainly. And that's what the group needs. Delicious homemade cookies are expected by everyone, and that's what needs to happen right now, no matter what. Continuing the conversation with myself, I respond in truth. This is true. This really happens in my brain. Homemade cookies are my expectations, not the group's. They don't care what I bring. Actually, Jewel makes some pretty good cookies, and they look even better on my white plate. Or what if I just picked up a box of candy? The truth is that none of us really need any treats. continuing in the conversation with myself, the truth is that rather than me being frustrated and frantic and launching into a full-blown baking frenzy, thereby affecting the mood of our entire family, what we really need is the peace of Christ ruling our hearts just to get the six of us out the door, into the van, to small group on time, which rarely ever happens, much to my husband's chagrin. Okay, what we really need is to be a part of this body, gathering together to reflect on the word of Christ dwelling within us. We need this time to teach and admonish one another with wisdom and thankfulness, just as Colossians 3 instructs us. There is no mention of treats in Colossians 3, and certainly not of homemade cookies. But wouldn't it be funny if there was? It'd be so awesome. When I am lingering on lies, I am not able to treat life with truth or help create a godly, loving atmosphere. A second example, a recent incident in which my girls needed some correction for their relationship struggles. Imagine, four girls? It's just two of them. Since they are older, the older two, I was delighted, I mean delighted, with the opportunity to sit down and share much of what we had learned in Colossians. I was just pouring it out. It was so awesome about what Christ did for us and how we're now to live out our Christian lives with one another. I reminded them of their confession of faith, their baptism, and now the power at work within them to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, found in Colossians 1, 10 and 11. Here's what I envisioned happening, and here's what I would like you to believe happened at that very moment. And every moment I correct my children, just imagine, the classical music started playing overhead. I can even start it for you. I'm not a good singer, but dun, 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 just like that. And the girls profusely thanked me with, "Oh, thank you, dearest mother, for so clearly and faithfully revealing our hearts to us through God's wonderful word. Please forgive us and continue to pray for us as we live out our lives together in a manner worthy of the Lord." It's not over. They hugged each other and merrily skipped out of the room together. Oh, what a delight to this mother's soul. It's so awesome if that happened. Recognize the lies, the lofty expectations in my head. Here's what really happened. It's true. There was no classical music, just some barely audible mumbles of apologies. Some rolling of the eyes. I'm not really sure how you stop that, except with duct tape. I don't know how to quite get that one. Furrowed brows, two unhappy countenances, and then the question, what do you think it was? Can we go now? That's it. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't perfect, and it certainly didn't fulfill my picturesque dream. So I respond in truth to myself. The reality is that just like me, my kids are sinners and are still growing in the grace of God. And it takes time for anything to grow, right? Just like me, they are still being established in the gospel. Once again, I'm reminded that I cannot control my kids' responses or change their hearts, but I can trust God to bear fruit in all of our lives, in his timing, in his ways, for his glory. We are all desperately in need of God's grace, not only to save us, but also to teach us how to live every day. Author Paul Tripp says it this way, "Admit it, we're all still a bit of a mess. That's why we need God's grace today as much as we needed it the first day we believed. You and I need to say it to ourselves again and again. We need to look in the mirror and make this confession as part of our morning routine. Here's what we all need to say. I am not a grace graduate." The way to begin to celebrate the grace that God so freely gives you every day is by admitting how much you need it. One more personal example to show you how much I need God's grace through his word to recognize those lies and respond in truth. I don't know where your greatest temptations are, where they lie, but one of mine is the loft. The loft is where the girls' bedrooms are. At the bottom of the loft stairs is where I must begin to fill my mind with truths, because for me, it is a world of lies up there. Up there is where I have clearly outlined the bedtime routine on a poster, including alliteration for easy recall. Everyone knows the four P's. pickup, pajamas, potty, pearly whites. Okay? This sad true story happened just a few weeks ago. Even more sadly, it wasn't the first time. I wish I could say it's going to be the last. Upon arriving in my youngest daughter's room and discovering that she had not completed pickup perfectly, I started ranting and raving and nagging and complaining. The next minute, the poor tender girl with big crocodile tears filling her eyes came and apologized to me for the mess. It was horrible. At that moment, I recognized the lies that I embodied, that I was justified in being angry and impatient because my six-year-old had not fulfilled my perfect pickup standard. The room wasn't even a big mess. There were just some items here and there that needed to be put away. I was deceived. I had forgotten Colossians 3, that I was to put off that old angry self and respond instead according to my new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of my Creator. I was to be compassionate and gentle, instructing my daughter kindly. Thanks be to God for revealing His word in that moment and helping me to respond in truth. I was humbled and immediately confessed my failure, apologized wholeheartedly, and rehearsed once again my need for her forgiveness, along with God's forgiveness and help. My friend Kate, who is a few steps ahead of me in motherhood, once reminded me of something that has been helpful to me every week, if not every day. In the midst of the daily grind and mommy mayhem, especially with young children at home, she said I needed to take the long view. She said that the girls would not remember every way I resolved every conflict, but they would remember my overall attitude and our home's overall atmosphere. That was incredibly enlightening to me. It continues to challenge and change me today. Well, you've heard of some of my daily scenarios, but I don't know what your life is like or what your most tempting situations are. I don't know the flavor of your life or when you are most likely to forget God's truths, whether it's with unending diaper duties, ungrateful teens, unmet longings, unexpected expenses, unfinished home projects, an unsettling diagnosis, or an unbelieving child. Maybe you struggle with a painful past or fear of the future. Maybe lies creep in with your difficult husband, disgruntled neighbor, discontent boss, or depressed relative. Or maybe you're believing the biggest lie of all, that you don't need God, or that you can do enough good things for God to accept you, or that you've done too many bad things for God to care about you. The truth is that you need the same thing I need, which is the same thing everyone in this room needs, Jesus. What needing Jesus means is that you come to Him broken and acknowledge you can't fix yourself and that you believe that by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, He is the one and only perfect sacrifice for forgiveness and a restored relationship with God. If you've hesitated and never confessed your need for Jesus or never submitted to Him as the ruler of your life, that is something you can do today. You will become a child of God. You will have a new life in Christ. Not perfect, as I have clearly illustrated today, but a new life with new hope, new purpose. In all of our lives, with each situation, we must choose to recognize the lies affecting us and respond in truth. Paul wrote the Colossians a letter to help them do this. We get the privilege of doing this by regularly reading and studying all the books of the Bible. This is where we meet and understand Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2:3. Some of these things we got to hear during the sharing, but they're so exciting, we'll just repeat them. This is where you discover in Colossians 1, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Everything was created by Him and through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the church. In Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In the Bible, we recall the truth of who we once were but are no longer, alienated from God and from others, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, angry, impure, spiritually dead. In the Bible, we remember the truth of all that God has done for us and how He enables us now to live. In Christ, He granted us forgiveness, canceled our record of debt, reconciled us to Himself. He made us alive. In Colossians 1, we read that He establishes us in the faith with knowledge, spiritual wisdom, understanding, power, so we can live a fruitful life, full of confidence, endurance, patience, joy, and thanksgiving. He enabled... That was weird, wasn't it? How are we doing? My battery has a green light. You want me to get loud? Would that be better? Okay, I'm going to... Oh. Hey, how you doing? Is it working? Is it working? Hey. Thanks be to God. Here we go now. Okay, in Christ, he granted us forgiveness, canceled our record of debt, reconciled us to himself. He made us alive. In Colossians 1, we read that he established us in faith with knowledge, spiritual wisdom, understanding, power, so we can live a fruitful life full of confidence, endurance, patience, joy, and thanksgiving. He enables us to put to death old earthly ways and set our minds on heavenly things. Colossians 3. Also in Colossians 3, the Bible reminds us that we are God's chosen, holy, beloved children. Isn't that amazing? And called to live out a life of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. And we have the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Doesn't that make such a difference in whatever stage of life you're in and whatever temptations and trials you face? We have the peace of Christ. Despite being immersed in the daily pool of lies, based on the world's standards and our own unrealistic expectations, we can offer forgiveness, grace, hope, and love to others when we cling to the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That changes everything. Don't miss out. Don't be deceived. All the truths I just recounted are only the ones found in the book of Colossians. There are so many more incredible treasures to discover and delight in throughout the entire Bible. Take the time and choose to read, study, and bring God's word to bear in your own life. Ask other ladies to help you apply what you're learning with your husband, with your children, with coworkers, with other family members and neighbors, even in your own mixed-up expectations, standards, and values. Recognize the daily lies and respond in God's truth. Within this past month, I found myself standing in the kitchen instructing my daughter to go back, go back, go back. I was referring to the dishes she'd left once again on the table, uncleared. This phrase has been echoing through my brain as I'm reminded that we must go back, go back, go back to what we've been taught, the word of truth, so that whatever we do in word or deed, we do in the name of our Lord Jesus, bringing honor to him. Well, I'm not sure if you will ever plan to visit our home. Maybe not after what I've shared, but you are very welcome, and we would love to have you. If you come, I hope you experience a warm, pleasant, peaceful atmosphere for that hour or whatever. You may not get a sense for how loud we are. You might not notice the crazy. You probably won't have the privilege of being folded into our scaring contests or one of our 80s dance parties, unless you request it. But I do pray that you find our family rooted, established, built up, and walking in the faith of Christ Jesus our Lord, abounding in joy and thanksgiving. Let me close us in prayer. Jesus, as we celebrate you this season and every season, please help us to know you and love you more. Help us to grasp the heights of your love for us. May we appreciate your sacrifice on our behalf so that we could have forgiveness and be called children of God. Help us to live out the truth of who we are in you with thankfulness and great joy. For your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.